before we officially get the meeting for the votes. So, thereafter, whether we are all members of the panel, we are not all there. We've got to look into the program. We've got to plan for next week. We've got to plan for the year. And this is the only week for doing that. So let us wait, but in waiting, let us just look at the proposed program. This is not cast in stone, but I think if there are proposals, let us make proposals to enhance the program before we sign, so that each and every one of us owns the report. Thank you. Let us start. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And it is the beginning of the year. I hope that everyone, each and every one of us, has relaxed enough and we have been revitalized by the rest that we have had. And then our prayers have always been with one of the members, Bam Mukwanya, whom I understand is still in hospital. It means that we still have a responsibility, if possible, to go and visit her and be with her. We thought that by December she would have been discharged, but well, that was not within God's plans. So she is still there, and we are in solidarity with her wherever she is, and we hope she is going to recover very, very, very fast. As we start this year, we are just over the half-term, government-term milestone. That means that the terrain, the five-year terrain that the government should have covered, should at least be around the half-year mark, where there are gaps, where there are challenges, where there are achievements. We've got, as an oversight body, to state those. Our task as Parliament is oversight, but given oversight, we are also having the task to lead the issue of oversight in Parliament and in society as well. So we've got to comment, remark as to what we have found out in the past 2.5 years. I hope that the chairperson, the secretary, will work out a plan to ensure that that is catered for, because I think the half term is important and all parties should be given an opportunity to discuss and come up with their assessments, and all other stakeholders as well. Department, the enterprises, the businesses, and all the important stakeholders, I think, should get a feedback from Parliament as to how the important sector of tourism is performing. The President has said that this year we've got to prioritize. That was last year. We had to prioritize the issue of jobs. And having prioritized the issue of jobs, our sector was one of the sectors that was earmarked for a major contribution in as far as job creation is concerned. Whether that has happened or not, I do not know. But we have to know. Somehow, we have to assess. We've got to have the information as part of our oversight duty. We also have to look at how we performed. The government has performed in as far as growth, that is accelerated and inclusive growth, creating jobs and then sustainable livelihoods. The issue of rural development, have we been successful in as far as rural economic development is concerned? The issue of health, the issue of education, and the issue of crime. And as tourism, we may find that some of the priorities are outside the scope of our oversight, though each and every one of them would have an impact on tourism one way or the other. So we have to look at accommodating, as the Portfolio Committee of Tourism, that half-year term performance as part of our oversight, and we've got to give other stakeholders as well an opportunity to comment. How that is going to happen, I do not know, but I think it is correct to have that type of assessment, firstly, from the political leadership in the country and from different political parties. And it is normal to have different views, because politics is about competition. And competition means that each party wants to govern this country one day. And in wanting to govern this country one day, it has got to look at the weaknesses of the present government in doing so.
Luckily, that's quite easy.
But the more difficult task is with the governing party. The governing party has to emphasize the achievements and de-emphasize the weaknesses. So that is where the contest is, and may the governing party win.
Ah.
And having said that,
together we can do more.
Together we can do more. So we'll need the opposition and everybody to put their shoulders to the wheel as we go forward in the interest of a strong South Africa. South Africa that is the best it can be, and a South Africa with a bright future. I think, having made those remarks, then we've got to look at our program, which is, number one, we've got to look at the draft committee program for the first quarter, that is 2012. Then we shall break and have tea. Then thereafter we shall have an update of international study tour to Mexico, where we shall be doing oversight and comparing what we are doing here as to what we is happening in Mexico. You know that there are recent developments in Mexico, that Mexico is growing quite greatly as a tourism destination that can hold very, very big conferences in places like Cancun. Is it Cancun?
Yeah.
Cancun is in Mexico. And I understand that there are islands that were in the past 10 years or so not economically active, without any activities in tourism, that have now flourished into very, very attractive tourism destinations. These are the things, therefore, we shall have to go and compare and look at ourselves and look at what we are doing, and as to whether perhaps there is better practice outside there in an economy that is comparable to ours, in an economy that is also a developing country. So that will be the issue number two, as we agreed last time that that would be the destination we would be going to. So without any much ado, let us get to item number one. Item number one being draft committee program for the first quarter, that is 2012. Honorable Kumbo, you are welcome. I hope that you have had a refreshing recess. Mamu Njobe, welcome, and thank you for being present. So let us continue as a team and look at the task before us. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think it's proper to introduce myself. Honorable Gaila, I'm an alternate in this committee from the UDM. Unfortunately, I've been getting notices. The committees used to clash, and today I was supposed to go to agriculture. Unfortunately, that meeting is cancelled. So I just want to clear things so that we know each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gaila. Really, I did not know you. So thank you for introducing yourself, and you are very, very much welcome. Please participate as much as you can, and whenever you have an opportunity, please come here and contribute, because you are doing so not for us, but for your beloved country. Thanks.
Apologies for coming late. I just want to. It's a pity one has to start by complaining right at the beginning of the year. I don't like it. But you see, I think the chairperson can help us. During this committee week section, when it says committee week, one wishes that the chairperson could also look at and avoid unnecessary clashes. You see, right now I'm from another meeting, a very, very important meeting, in a committee in which I participate. But this day is not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. But what can I do? So, you see, I'm trying to say, why don't we, even during committee week sessions, try and follow the usual parliamentary committee program? Because we have already, parties have already arranged in such a way that people participate in such a way that as much as is possible that, we avoid clashes. But once it is committee week, I find that myself, you know, everybody just puts their program in the way they like. It doesn't look as if the chairperson, you know, consult in terms of how they arrange their program. It's very frustrating, I must say. I didn't want to miss the start of this meeting, and I don't want to miss what is going on there. I can't fight myself.
You know, in the Bible, there was one king, and there was one mother who lost her child, and then the two mothers were claiming that the child was theirs. Now I don't remember.
King Solomon.
And then he said the king then said that the child should be cut into two, and then the one who was not the mother said, yes, of course, let us cut into two so that I can have the other half. But the real mother said, no, I want my child whole. So I'm going to act the part of the real mother and say, never go to another committee on a Tuesday. Come here. No, Mama Njobe, I'm very, very sorry. But sometimes, I mean, that should not happen. And it is wrong under normal conditions. But sometimes other committees have legislation. I do not know what is happening in your committee. But if they are operating like us, and they are not under any pressure, they are not having a legislation, really, it's not in the interest of Parliament to have those clashes. But then sometimes there are urgent issues, like people in the committee for the information bill, like the committees that are having other legislation that is urgent. Then sometimes, really, it is unavoidable. So I do not know, and we are soon expecting also another legislation, except if it gets postponed once more from the Minister of Tourism. It may come later this year. So I think we are going to accommodate it, and the department or the minister will give us the information in time so that we can work it into the program. And I don't know, did we circulate the first draft, the green paper or whatever? I don't know of the legislation.
Yes, we did, sir. We circulated to all members of the committee.
Okay.
Last time, I think the department was still consulting. I'm not sure how far they are now with that process.
Yeah, at this stage, they were still consulting, and other stakeholders had to make an input, but our stage was not really there yet. But I do not know how far it, because they had about 60 days, was it? 60 days? Yeah. So, but they have not come back and said, no, we are finished with that 60 days, so let us go on. So the minute they say let us go on, I think whereas it is important to have a program, let us also check with them when that legislation should be expected. So over to you, Jerry.
Chairperson, I will just request the chair to introduce some of the staff members, because some of us, we don't know them, and I think they are very important to us as members. You know, I only know Cindy. Hi, young boss. Kangas Utubani. I know her very well. Whip, would you please stop? Chairperson, I know my dear daughter very well by just looking at her, but I don't know her name.
Just introduce yourselves and your position.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Mamu Zikalala might not remember me, but at some stage we did work together. My name is Vuyisile Mfuniselo, a.k.a. Vito. That's how people know me. I'm committee assistant, so you might see me now, you might not see me again. That's how life is happening in committee section. Yes.
I'm Leslie, I'm the secretary to the work. Mama Kasi.
You know, it sounds so funny when you know a person and then somebody says he or she must be introduced officially. But it shouldn't sound funny, really, because it's just for my own interest, because I want to know them. When I meet them, I must call them by name. Mm. Maybe so Google for me.
Well, it could be Googling, but the thing is, it's correct. It's correct. You got to know people that you work with by name, I think it's always good to have that, rather than to work with people for a long time and not knowing their name. It just shows that you are not interested in them. But the problem we have is that with assistants they keep changing them, so now we do not know who is whom, and that creates a problem. But we always admire the support that they give us. We may not always say it, but really we appreciate the support you give us in general. It is good. There are exceptions, but generally it is good, and we appreciate that and keep it up. Mr. Grumo.
Chair, thanks. Just on a point of clarity, are we supposed to be discussing the draft program now?
Yeah.
I mean, have we concluded the other business, or are we still getting to that? I mean, I'm just not quite sure we are on the program at the moment.
Okay, I think we are having the holiday mood, and then let us get on with the business. Thank you.
So I was just wondering if
you want to make a similar comment. Okay.
No, I was just wondering whether Honourable Zikalala is finished, and then I'll carry on.
So okay, she's finished. Yeah.
Are you okay? I guess not. Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right, the draft program. Sure. There isn't anything that strikes one as being out of place here. And I think it's more a question of how we use the visits by the various institutions that we've invited, as opposed to which ones are actually on. Because, you know, you can have SA Tourism here, it all depends on what they talk about, whether we can get some value out of it or not. So I would have wanted to suggest that what I think might be helpful, we are now more than 2.5 years into this term. We're just over halfway, and I think everybody, whether they've been on the committee before or not, probably has a good idea now of what the issues are. And I think there's a fair amount of cross-party consensus about some of the issues we have to tackle. So what I'd like us to do, is for your consideration, Chairperson, and for the committee's consideration, is to maybe sort of shortlist 3 or 4 issues that we think really are important, and simply make sure that when we ask the appropriate institutions to come and brief us, that they cover that as well as or incorporate it in their presentations, so we can have a proper look at what's going on. In fact, I'll give you one example. We know that our tourism figures are increasing, which is a good thing because it's better than the international trend, where there's a shrinkage, we actually are increasing tourism. But the money being spent in our country hasn't gone up by the same percentage extent as the number of tourists. What in fact is happening, our numbers are growing, but it's more to do with people that are not really tourists or are not spending very much, and we're getting less people spending a lot of money. So we're not getting the full benefit of increased numbers. So one of the things I think we'd like SA Tourism to tell us is, what are they going to do in the light of the ongoing world recession and the ever deepening crisis in the Eurozone, to attract those kind of people that are going to spend a lot of money, who can generate income in our country and generate jobs? I mean, that is, to me, a good question to ask, because we can bring in people who are going to come in for one day from Zimbabwe or Mozambique, and it will help our local industries and still help our retail outlets, but that's not the job of this committee. Our job is to boost tourism, and those particular visitors are helping our retail economy but not our tourist industry. So how do we get more people spending tourism dollars or euros here? Or any other country that's got a lot to spend. It doesn't have to be from Northern Hemisphere even. It could be Australians or New Zealanders or Argentinians, whatever. So I think those are the kind of things we need to be asking. Rather than sort of having an institution come and brief us, maybe we as a committee should say, well, what are the things that really worry us? I mean, many members of this committee have expressed concern over the last 2.5 years about the imbalance, and not enough is done in the rural areas. Especially from your party, there's a lot of concern about, are we actually getting a nice spread effect of tourism benefits? Seems as if all the benefit goes to the tourist resorts and the urban areas, and isn't enough in the rural areas. Maybe that's something that some of the committee members would like to specifically put to some of these institutions. How's that going? So I think if we can focus on the issues and then ask those institutions to brief us properly on that, and then can at least we can get as a committee to the heart of the things that we know are issues that need to be resolved. That's my suggestion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kumba. But the issues that you mentioned is about the expenditure. What is the source? What is your reference?
Chair, I was looking at the last briefing that SA Tourism gave us, where there was quite pleasing increases in the numbers, But we also heard that the length of stays are shortening. The international trend is to take shorter holidays now rather than longer ones. So although the numbers are going up, spend isn't matching the numbers. So I mean, that is just one of the statistics that jumped out at me. We like to have people here for 2 weeks, but they may be only staying for 1 week. So it doesn't matter if you have 10% more because they're staying 50% less, and so you're not getting as much money. So how do we change those numbers around? I think those are the critical questions. How can we get more people here spending lots and lots of money and creating employment for our people? That's the kind of question I'd like to ask. It's coming from that's the last SA Tourism presentation that we had. You know, it was very good on their graphs and their stats. I mean, it's excellent, that department.
Because perhaps that could also be the result of the unfavorable economic conditions, particularly from the European side and the Americans. We do not know for how long that thing is going to go on, but the challenge is to get people that are going to spend better, really, and that is true. And it is everyone's challenge to try and stimulate the tourism spend and the tourism stay and the day spent in the country in order to increase the revenue generated as from the sector. I'm Jolene.
Some of the things that do concern us as a committee. I see on the program that we are giving ourselves certain days, for instance, to look at committee business, minutes and all. It's possible that that could give us time. We should look at the possibility of using some of that time, for instance, to look at some of the concerns as a committee, not necessarily with the department sometimes. I'm thinking, for example, that with regards to some of the points that have been raised by Mr. Kumpo, if it is not possible sometimes to get, you know, say an independent presentation, say from the industry itself, an analysis from somewhere in the industry itself, and then we compare with the information, for instance, that we receive from the government, because the government will always put things, you know, in their own way, but sometimes we do need to know what the stakeholders are saying and how they are feeling, which also brings me to another point. It may not necessarily be of national concern, probably in specific parts of the country. You know, the question of crime against tourists, for me, is quite disturbing, maybe because we've just had a case, for instance, in the Eastern Cape, where two Swedish tourists, you know, were not only robbed, humiliated, but the women were also raped. You see, this is a very, very bad case, and I think it gives a very bad impression. And of course, I mean, even the industry itself, or those who have commented in the Eastern Cape, you know, or on this case, the stakeholders are very worried about the impact on the image, you know, or on the industry, particularly for that particular area. Now, I know it's not actually the first case in the Eastern Cape. There's another case, another horrible case that also happened. I'm not sure whether it's last year or in 2010. Maybe again here, you know, we get some independent, my point is that we get some independent analysis, you know, from, let's say, for instance, it could be from the NGOs or whoever, you know, in the tourism industry. to look at this, and we look at whether really enough is being done. Probably, shall we say, in certain areas, in certain parts of the country, enough is being done to ensure that, you know, the tourists are actually protected. Could be the municipalities, or it could be the provinces. We can look at it and see how we approach it. I'm trying to say, let's also be involved in other things that are happening elsewhere with regards to the tourism industry, not only with the department, but also with the stakeholders. I'm happy to see the SMME is mentioned again in our program here, because that's another way of interacting with the stakeholders rather than interacting with the department all the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mom Drobi. Honorable Tumbok.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Honorable Drobi is exactly right. We need to have cross-pollination of ideas rather than just one side of the story. So one of the things that is quite worrying to me is, despite our quite good tourism numbers of people visiting our shores, you talk to people in the industry, they'll tell you it is the worst time for tourism in living memory. It's never been as bad as this, and certainly in KwaZulu-Natal, where you and I come from, there's tourist businesses closing down everywhere. I mean, I see that even where I live. So, I mean, for example, to get SATSA here would be excellent, because that particular organization does seem to have its pulse on virtually everything going on. There's a very politically incorrect guy, but very refreshing to hear him, from Fred Haasa, right? And he was particularly knowledgeable about the bigger industry players in the hotel industry, for example. I'm trying to remember his name, Brett. I can't remember his surname now. But those are the kind of people we need, Chair, along with SA Tourism and along with government, so we can hear both sides and we can actually get to the nitty-gritty of things. Because there's got to be something wrong if our numbers are growing when the rest of the world is declining, and yet our industry is suffering the worst ever conditions. Something is missing in that mix, and I think we need to explore it as a committee and find out what's going wrong. So I totally want to support Honourable Njobi. I think that's exactly what we need. And we need some sort of straight-talking industry players here as well. I'm very pleased that we're going to the SMMEs again in Cape Town, because I think that trip to Nyanga and Guguletu and Khayelitsha was very useful last time. But let's also get a view from the industry on a national scale. And then we've heard everyone in much better informed to make good decisions. Thanks.
Thank you, Benji. Thank you very much for very, very distinct, useful, interesting inputs. And it's a pity that in the Eastern Cape now there had to be these heinous crimes committed. In Durban, for instance, the police managed to reduce the tourism against crime against tourists almost to zero. Then I think what should happen is that communities should work with police as well, the particularly the councils and the tourism associations. Normally they are associations. They work together in order to combat a crime, because together we can do more, as the ANC says. So we've got to try and build into that, and then every person attacked, really, it's just one person too many, and we've got to try and combat that. But I'm of the view that we are saying that we've got to bring in bodies like SATSA, like FEDASA, that perhaps we could get even the small businesses, this thing, representative, so that they are together, and also SA Tourism. Would that accommodate that, or perhaps do you think that we've got to include others as well? so that we try and have as much information as possible. So in my list, that was particularly for statistics, we need SA Tourism Business Council. Is it that business council there? Mm. Then we need SA Tourism because they have their own research as well. Then we need FEDASA because they deal with people for accommodation. They can give us their statistics, how many people stayed. And then we need the representative of the SMMEs as well that may give us their hearsay. If they do not have scientific testing stats, they may have information from amongst themselves. So, and then that will be very, very distinct, useful as an oversight tool. But having said that, let us try then and identify a gap in the program and incorporate that. Is that okay? I do not know whether it is. Let us just look at the program. But I think it would assist to have SA Tourism together with SA SADRA together with FEDASA. The other one giving their side, the other one defending or actually supporting their case, because in where there is a debate, you need scientific evidence that supports the other case. Jerry, have you catered for that? We have. If we have not, let us look into the program with an eye on that. Jerry, let us go on.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, we have been given the days from the 17th of January up to 23rd of March 2012 as the first quarter of the program of Parliament. Now we have suggested that this first meeting of the committee for this year to be today, where the committee will specifically look at its first term program. We also thought, Chair, that we will also table the draft report of the committee on the overview and development plan that we were briefed on it. But unfortunately, that report is still undergoing the editing. At this stage, that was the plan for today, Chair. And then next week, Chairperson, from the 23rd up to 27th, the committee will be out of the country visiting Mexico. The committee is departing on Friday, the 20th, and will be back on the 28th of January. So some of the focus areas have been indicated there under objectives, where we specifically want to see how they deal with the issues of public-private partnership, intergovernmental relations, alignment and integration in tourism, SMMEs and their contribution to GDP and job creation. Those are some of the areas that the committee will be focusing on, are not the only, and others who are managed.
Okay, before we get to the next step, I think we fully agree on the 17th, which is today, and the issue of the 23rd to the 27th. So that we but for anything that we have on the study tour, let us entertain that one on item number 2, that is update on the international study tour, how to break it down there, the program down. Okay, so number 1, first column, rows are going left to right, and columns top to bottom. Let us deal with the next page first, and that is the date is the 31st to the 3rd of February, that week.
Chairperson, that the 31st of January to the 3rd of February has been set aside by Parliament for members training. Unfortunately, that program is being handled by the section of Simelelo Nyikane, who is handling the training for members in the Hall of Parliament. Unfortunately, I am not sure, Chair, how that program has been designed and so on. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure the House Chairperson will be in a better position to communicate that to all members of Parliament. But what we have just been told was that those dates should be set aside. No committee should be meeting at that time, because the Parliament will be doing that training for members of Parliament. So hence we have put it here, so try to block it so that we don't call any meeting during that at that time, Chair.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that. Let us go to the next.
Okay. Chair, the committee will recall that we have an outstanding oversight visit that we were supposed to undertake to Mitchell's Plain and Manenberg sometime last year. Unfortunately, due to also changes in the parliamentary program, in one way or another, that visit was affected by the planning. So we are proposing again to reintroduce this on the agenda of the committee. And we are proposing that Tuesday of the 7th of February, we can use that date to go to the areas that we have not gone to when we were in Khayelitsha and Guguletu. I'm not sure from the side of the members, Chair, whether is there any.
Okay. I think there is nothing so far, but I think we've got to look at also the partnerships. What is happening is you have these small businesses working on their own, and then you have tourists coming to Cape Town. And then a receptionist at Cape Town says, you can't go to Mitchell's Plain, it's too rough and it's too dangerous. But it's not exactly the owners or the top management, but it's people innocently thinking that they are giving an honest advice. And then on the other hand, hurting the other businesses, as you heard when we went to Khayelitsha and so forth. So, and then that can only be cured by having communication amongst themselves. If they do not have communication or some forms of association, they are not going to cure that problem, because the other has got to assure the other who has got the wrong perception about the real situation that is happening, and mechanisms that are there to ensure the safety of security in Khayelitsha or Mitchell's Plain or whatever. So I think the we've got to look as to whether there is cooperation between the big business and them. So as one of the aspects, coming from the experiences that we had from Khayelitsha. Then the next.
And then the next item, Chairperson, on the 9th of February will be the State of the Nation address, which again will be at 7 o'clock in the evening. Then the following week, although we have not yet decided on the name of the person, Chair, that we will invite in order to unpack that to the committee. Members will recall that last year we called someone from here, the Cape Peninsula University of Technology, plus our researcher. We also proposing as well, even this year, to invite someone, but we have not yet decided from which institution, Chair, this time, whether we go to the same institution or we go to UCT or Stellenbosch and so on, to to assist in terms of unpacking that state of the nation in as far as tourism is concerned. Then on the 14th and 15th, in terms of the program, the Parliament will be debating the State of the Nation address, and then on the 16th of February, the President will be replying to that debate.
Okay, let us start with the 14th February analysis of the State of the Nation address. Do different political parties accept that we've got to have the analysis of the station address? Okay. Okay. Then we on the following week, we shall be having the debate on the State of the Nation address, and then the other week will be the following day. Then the President will reply to the debate. Well, we've got no, really we do not have any role in that, because we'll just be listening and then respond afterwards. Then the following week, Chair, take us to page 3.
Then on page 3, Chairperson, the 21st of February, Tuesday, we have set that slot open so that we can deal with the internal matters of the committee. Should there be reports and minutes and other matters that may need the attention of the committee, and then we've kept that slot open for that. And then the following, on the same week, on the 22nd, there will be the budget speech on the 22nd of February. Where Minister will be tabling the Fiscal Framework Appropriation Bill and Division of Revenue Bill. And then on the 28th of February, Chair, again, the committee will recall that we have an outstanding briefing that we're supposed to get from the Southern Africa Association for Conferencing Industry. That meeting, we were supposed to have it sometime last year late, but again, because of the BRR issues, then we had to defer that meeting for early next year. So we were thinking again of bringing back that agenda item to the committee program early this time. And then the 6th of March, again, we have kept that slot open there so that we can deal with internal matters of the committee. And then on the 13th of March, we were expecting a briefing by the South African Tourism on budget and strategic plans. And then the following week, and then we received again a briefing from the National Department of Tourism on the strategic plan and budget for the financial year 2012-2013 and the year. And then thereafter, Chair, I think on the 26th, then it will be a constituency period. So basically our program as a committee will end on the 20th of March.
Chair, thanks again. I'm not entirely sure how the suggestions that have been made and appear to have been accepted by the committee to have some of these industry players here fit into this program, because it does seem as if virtually every week is taken up. And I mean, it is important that we do consider minutes and pass them, and that's essential. There's no way around that. But, I mean, is it really necessary to take an entire morning to do that? If the kind of thing that as responsible committee members we should get the emails from Jerry, we should look at it in our spare time in the evenings or during plenaries or whatever it is, and come to the committee. It should be a relatively short thing, half an hour, to approve three or four sets of minutes, because I think we should be deemed to have read them, and you only have to look at the items where people disagree. So I mean, I really think we need to give the taxpayers a bit more value for their money and perhaps not spend time mourning approving our own minutes, and maybe slot in some of the things you and the committee have been talking about, and then try and be a little bit more businesslike about approving the minutes in consideration of reports. Otherwise, all the good intentions you've just mentioned are going to be left for April. And maybe we should at least slot in one of those industry role players before, in this first term. I take it this program is till the end of the first term, is that correct, Jerry? So we wouldn't have a single one of those presentations for the entire first term. I think that would be unfortunate. Maybe we can't fit them all in, but we should at least try and fit one in. And we could perhaps, you know, we don't have to accumulate minutes and then spend a whole morning. Maybe we can do one per meeting, and then we don't fall behind and we only need to take 15 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. In seconding what Honorable Krumbok is saying, if you can look at the committee internal business matters, it's only one week that is not for minutes, and which is going to be one set of minutes or two. So we can't take the whole day for 1 or 2 minutes. If we can use it for something. Also, my suggestion is that, Chair, when we go visiting the provinces, we have challenges of roads in terms of tourism, so that you can meet maybe the portfolio on transport to check how they can assist on roads for tourism issues. Because most of challenges was that people are not accessing those like Madiko Game Reserve because of roads. So if you can use those at that time with maybe attending some issues that challenges that we have met on our oversight. Thank you, Chair.
Before I comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because of clash of meetings, unfortunately, as Mahmoud Mchoba said, some of the media committees, they are unable to attend. But I'm from the Wild Coast, LOD, and being from there, knowing the area, there's nothing that has been done regarding tourism. Rural tourism is totally dead, does not exist. Let us just be fair and open about the Chairperson. Now, the belt between Kai Bridge and KwaZulu-Natal is a very beautiful area, but it's not being explored. There are various reasons for that. One, the high rate of crime, as Mama was saying. Yesterday I left Island and Mama. In the front page, somebody killed in Fort St. John's, a shark attack. It's not the first person that's killed. What would be good is what the honourable member is saying, is that to get transport, because the first reason is crime. You need to meet with the Department of Police. Secondly, you need to get involved transport because their roads do not exist. There are no roads at all. You go to Mbame, one of the most beautiful areas. You go to Kokamau, there are totally no roads at all, nothing at all. Then also the traditional leaders, they need to be involved. If you want to combat crime, you need to involve them. They play a major role in those areas. They are respected, highly respected in those areas. So that is what I would suggest the committee must do, is to meet those four departments to get tourism totally going there and booming in those areas. Without involving the police, There is no police visibility. Not at all. Police are just reacting. About 2 weeks back, there were about 6 cars stolen in Mthatha. The police were only visible when the cars were stolen. Then we saw them at the shopping complexes. So you need to involve those committees. If we want proper tourism, the rural areas, we need to involve those 4 departments. Thank you.
Let me try and address this issue of policing. I mean, police, they do their work in other areas, and then they are very, very poor in other areas. But what I have discovered in our area was that when we started getting involved, we got the councillors involved, we got other community leaders, other civics, and then we went to speak to them, and then we went to talk about visible policing, and then have monthly meetings with them. The policing began to improve. I'm not saying that it is going to improve in Elliot Dale and whatever, but it looks like this thing is a district managed. Other districts are well managed, other districts are not well managed.
Okay.
Come to Cape Town. There is a problematic area around Ilanga and the Port Yeovil. There's always a distinct, but at least 2 police vans standing next to the robots on the N2. Have you seen that when you come to Acacia Park or Vanguard Road? Always stationed there. Which means that there has been an interaction between police and that community, and because there are crimes there. So I think why it is important to send this message. Also, it is also important for us and other role players to informally visit the police and discuss these ideas, because in some areas really, yeah, it's very poor, but in other areas it has improved, and there are a lot of new vans. I was seeing they are delivered normally. I don't know whether they get them from overseas or whatever, but they are delivered from Durban. You see a lot moving Pulwa. They are already written those for KwaZulu-Natal. I do not know for other provinces. But the point is the crime is disturbing tourism, and as you have put it, it is important to involve important role players like the chiefs, like the headmen, like councillors, like schools, it should be everybody. But as leaders as well, we do not have to say we are in parliament, we are doing oversight, and we cannot do anything. We also have to try and coordinate these things, because without us also participating in some areas, things just don't work. But thank you very much for a very important input around issues of crime. But coming back to the proposal that has been made before, that we've got to have an informed input on tourism from SATSA, from FEDASA, from the South African Business Council, and anybody that you know of that could give an input with a lot of insight. I propose that the week that is meant for committee internal business be for those organizations. I think this is the message that we are saying.
Sure.
Around the issue of policing, we can involve the national police as well, but having observed a lot of areas, it looks like there has also to be local involvement in those areas as well. Thanks. To accommodate the minutes, sorry. I think we can be in a position to accommodate the minutes in the process. We've got to read the minutes on time and then raise issues where we have issues. but it shouldn't be, it shouldn't stand on the way of a very, very important committee work, because we've got to have an informed debate on some of the issues that have been raised. Is that going to cause any problems, or is it too late to invite those? I don't think.
No, Chairperson, I don't think so. That's why, Chair, I wanted us to check. So, do we then agree that we will spread these organizations between the 21st of February and the 6th of March?
Yeah.
Because we've got those two slots there.
Yeah.
Then we can just spread them along on those two slots in that week of the 21st of February and then the week of the 6th of March.
Well, I would like to have them under one roof on the same day, if possible. But if it is not possible, it's okay. We can have them on different days. Because if in case of a dispute or different views, then the other can raise their source of information, their point of view, and so forth. But if that is not possible, it's still okay. We'll try and we'll discuss it in our management committee tomorrow and see what's the best given the circumstances. Please allow us to do so.
No, I think it's no, we are at the end of the program, sir. The 20th of March will be our last meeting for this, where we will get a briefing from the Department of Tourism on budget and the straight plan.
Chairperson, I would like to thank the Secretary for providing this slot, committee internal business. It would be good for some of us, you know, just to run around and come back with something as opposition. And one other thing, coming to crime, I wonder how is the Western Cape of Cloud laid? Because I remember there was a time when the Table Mountain was in, you know, was always on the news, the attacks and tourists were attacked and this and that and that. But, well, I just wanted to know whether is there any improvement. As the chair was just giving us a short report about KZN, that crime has been really handled with care of now late. And one other thing, I wonder if maybe I wasn't present, if visiting some of these provinces, for instance, let me take the KwaZulu-Natal as a province, meeting the MEC that is handling the tourism section in the legislature. Well, I understand you, other provinces have been visited. For instance, Northern Cape. What else? I think I was not present.
Northwest.
Limpopo. Gauteng.
answered. That is what I just wanted to know. But KZN?
Not yet.
Eastern Cape?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm happy.
No, in fact, we'll have to decide, and we'll have to decide, because it was supposed to be Mpumalanga, then Eastern Cape, then thereafter KwaZulu-Natal. But also, we've got to talk to SA Tourism to try and. And expose the different types of tourism, one way or the other. I mean, they are doing a good work, but if you go to other provinces like Gauteng, the Vaal area, what is happening there? Like some things that are happening around Kruger National Park, around the Meander in KwaZulu-Natal, and so forth. Those experiences are not captured, and you find that there are always people that are looking for rather than a country experiences. You see? So I do not know how we can better, that can better be expressed, but I think the way I look at it, there has to be a way that SA Tourism also features some experiences that we are having. The attraction of the Table Mountain and Durban is okay. And Johannesburg is a business district because it's a business destination because of the facilities it has. But the other areas have also to be promoted. Like KwaZulu-Natal, there are a lot of things that concern heritage. Mpumalanga, the province of Eastern Cape, there's a lot that concerns the wars that happened there. It's heritage. Is the area of the north, there is a lot also concerning heritage. But heritage does not fall under tourism. Somehow, I think we've got to propose that as we go forward, particularly in provinces, the issue of tourism and heritage should either fall under the same departments or whatever, because the more we go forward into the future, the more it seems that heritage and tourism in some way also are interrelated. I think we shall do that.
What about Shaka Marine?
Well, Shaka Marine is part of Devon, but also they are experiencing, you see a lot of sharks swimming in the water, but it's also the beach, but it's also experiences, shopping experiences. This is a combination of experiences. If you want to look at sharks, how they swim, they've got areas you can actually see them because it's connected to the sea. But it's an experience. But I don't know how you then club it together. But the essence is that there could be a better way of capturing the experiences in South Africa than we are currently having. Is that all from your side in as far as the program is concerned? Okay. That then is fine. But let us find a way of. There are things that I think should be captured, and then if we can make a statement, a press statement or a media statement, that would be okay. The issue of our concern about the crime situation, particularly around the Eastern Cape. But put it in context, because we do not want ourselves to scare people away from South Africa in trying to solve problems. So I don't know how we contextualize what we discussed here and put it in a way that says that although there are a lot of there is a lot of improvement, but there are localized areas of more crime activities. Perhaps it's the same criminals. They run away from Johannesburg and Cape Town and get to these rural areas. I do not know. Then I read about that shark attack. That shark left everybody, and then it just, because it looks like that person was in a crowd, and then he was not the first person. It passed other people, and that just went for him, or was it a him? Eh?
Mm.
It was a him. So I don't know. I mean, it was how it happened, and perhaps we need to study more about sharks. Perhaps he had eaten something, or there was a certain perfume, but it left a lot of people before it came to him and bit him, and then he died. And huh? Well, yes, the Bible would explain it that way. Christians would explain it that way, but that was what was strange about the attack. Or perhaps he had taken a lot of beer, and then the smell was there. Or perhaps he had eaten a lot of meat.
Yeah.
We don't know, but there is something that attracted that shark to that person. But we do not know. But we've got to say that sharks do not attack people every day there. Are there nets there? Shark nets?
No. What appears to have happened there is a change in behavior, because that beach has always been viewed as being safe, but it was a Zambezi shark. It's the same species of shark that kills people in Australia, although there it's known as a bull shark or a whaler shark. And it is apparently at the mouth of a river. I stand to be corrected, but I read a newspaper report, and they do drop their young in fresh water, these sharks. So they obviously are attracted to the river mouth, and there's a beach there. And I think what has to happen in the Eastern Cape is that they seriously have to look at closing that beach. Because it would appear now that, far from being a safe beach, that is one of the more dangerous beaches. I don't know why the shark went for one particular person. I mean, the shark behavior is that once they decide on something they want to catch, it doesn't matter if something swims right in front of them and is closer, they'll carry on against or after their original prey. So they're very goal-directed in that manner. But it doesn't really make sense why it bypassed all the other swimmers, except to say that perhaps it was tasting them. Because when a shark brushes past you, sometimes you don't even know that they're tasting you with their skin. And maybe it tasted a few people and decided it liked the taste, and then it went for the first person after it made up its mind, and that happened to be that unlucky individual. You know, it's pointless speculating about why. I think the point is it's not a safe beach anymore, and if we don't want another tragedy, the authorities of that municipality have to look at closing that beach. I don't think we can say it doesn't happen very often. The next time it could be, you know, could be one of us or anyone. One is too many, like your crime statistics. And we can't really have unsafe beaches, because that makes international headlines. Always does.
What about the option of having nets, as we are having them in Durban and Cape Town?
Yeah. See, the horrifying thing about nets is that more sharks get caught in nets swimming away from the beach than actually swimming towards the beach. I don't know whether you knew that. And there was a story in the Christmas holidays about how lifesavers are saying people don't actually know that on their side of the net there's a lot of sharks when they swim. So it's not foolproof. And the problem with nets is that it also catches dolphins and other aquatic and marine animals. So rather than netting off a dangerous beach, simply don't use the beach at all, and rather put nets in a safe beach to make it safer. I don't think it's clever to, you know, you might as well sort of do chumming there and have surfers. I mean, that's asking for trouble. You can't make a beach that's inherently dangerous completely safe. It'll help, but it's better not to have people swimming there at all.
Yeah, because this thing of the Zambezi shark, it is going south as well. Now there have been problems in the Breede River.
Mm-hmm.
Fishermen who are fish. Having fish either for their living or whatever are competing with these Zambezi. And then when fishermen kill these Zambezi distinct sharks, as one would kill wolves or hyenas or lions eating their stock, then conservationists come up and say, no, you can't kill the sharks. We've got to preserve conserve nature. And then the problem around that normally is managed somehow. The people have got to sit down and negotiate and then up to a solution. Where do you fish and how do you fish and so forth. The people, conservationists, have to adapt, and then but people as well have to adapt. But now adaptation would come from negotiation from both sides. I mean, it's a livelihood from the other side, but at the same time, it's a long-term sustainable livelihood from the side of conservation. So conservation doesn't look at the immediate. But now, that's why they protect the Zambezi shark. But hungry people don't worry about the long term. They go to eat now. So it's these contradictions in life that normally are managed by people sitting together and say, yes, we want fish, how do we get them? And then the others saying that we want to conserve this as a Zambezi shark for your own grandchildren. How then do we do it together, sit down and solve the problem? We can't solve it from Parliament. It has got to be solved there at Breede River, there, that one of Breede River. The one of Port St. John's has to be solved at Port St. John's by people sitting down and saying, we need a beach. What do we do? The other thing, we've got to protect the shark for our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. What do we do? And then come up with a solution. Solutions are always possible. It's only that in quite a lot of instances we become chauvinistic and say we are right and all these things, then we fight. But we've got to learn to adjust, to adapt. Mom job.
Yeah, Chairperson. But there's also the truth that the rules of nature also do apply. And they have to sometimes. The survival of the fittest and the elimination of the weakest. Painful, but it happens. So there is that as well. But it is also true that I think there needs to be some coordination in situations like, okay, we are taking the example of Boston Zone, because it is said that it happens very frequently. There has to be some coordination between the conservationists and the community, because, you know, I listened to a lady who was, I can't remember that she was carrying a placard or something, but on TV it read, stop killing the sharks. And the next thing we were shown, you know, this person in this case. So you ask yourself the question, this contradiction, this is the conservation, it says, stop killing the sharks. And then there's the shark killing the What do you do?
The sharks should stop killing people.
Yeah. We want the conservationists to try and conserve nature. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we human beings have disturbed the balance of nature. Nature balances itself, but I think we have become so modern that we don't allow nature to balance itself. I hope you get what I mean. Yeah, we're not allowing nature to balance itself, because in nature there would have been a way if, for instance, naturally sharks increased to a certain number somewhere, nature would have a way of reducing those sharks. Just like it has a way of reducing us too, human beings, but we are very resistant, we resist that. But nature does have a way of reducing us too. Disasters, natural disasters, and all those things. It's the way nature works.
On that note, can we have a nice
I wanted to comment on what you said about whether the committee makes a statement or not, and if we do, how far do we go, and what would be our approach, and what impact do we want such a statement to have? Personally, I would say, yes, the police are doing their work. We are not saying that the police are not doing their work, but including even in this area we are talking about, where these two women were attacked. But also, you see, we can put a challenge to ourselves, like, for instance, a challenge to the municipalities, or a challenge to the municipalities, a challenge, to the provinces, if we are dealing with these particular situations. Because, for instance, the comments are such that the challenge is on the PCM, the Buffalo City Municipality, that it doesn't look as if there are enough notices, you see, for the tourists in that area, because the people who are working in that area do say that that area generally is crime infested, because it is further and further away. I think I have an idea of that area. During the apartheid days, that was the area where, for instance, the black people had access to the beach, and it was never protected. But probably what is probably happening is that even the current municipalities are still leaving the status quo to remain as it was. That particular area is not that well protected, and yet it is an interesting area, because there is nature, and I would imagine that people like people from Europe, you see, are not so much interested in the buildings as I can see the hotels that they're beautiful hotels and churches and so on, but out there it's forest, it's nature, they might probably want to go there. Now it is for the municipality in that area really also to warn the people as much as is possible, while at the same time it does something to ensure that the tourists who would like to go to an area like that, a natural area like that, are protected in one way or another. I'm just saying, if we were to put up an article, I think our emphasis should be on the challenges that we put on the structures that we who are supposed to look after the interests and the safety of the children. That's how I look at it.
Okay, thanks very much, Anjom. Let us break, and then thereafter we shall be looking at the second item. Is tea already, has tea been supplied on the outside one? Okay, but let us have a comfort break. If there is no tea, it will just be for about 5 minutes. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Okay, let us have 2 minutes. Don't continue. But after two minutes, I stop you.
You know, this
to the what team?
Durban.
Yeah.
Durban, the city of Durban. Between December and January, at 90 to 100% occupancy rate in the hotels. Now that's a success story. We must go there and say to them, What are you doing in the
first of the Well, there's no secret there. That's what's been happening for 100 years. I mean, it's all the people from Class 10 spending holidays there. The question you have to ask is, what about the rest of the year?
People who know Table Mountain better than any, and the Robben Island, at least, they are just in vain. You know, jurisdiction. Table Mountain. We must tell the people about it. We are in trouble. Table Mountain. And say something. Robben Island. Just what Nanny was pleasant, but she's a member of the
Hezulu.
Hezulu. No, let us.
Yabonga kakulu.
No, let us get on with the business. It's not going to be as much as we had in the morning, but from the program we said that we were going to look at the content of what we are going for there. For instance, the objective of the meeting was that would be to focus on public-private partnerships they have in Mexico, intergovernmental relations, alignment and integration, SMME's contribution to the GDP. But I think also we've got to look at what they are doing that is in line with the programs that we are having, for instance, in our annual report, tourism growth, development, those types of regular items for purposes of comparison. Then rural tourism, if there is any, conferencing tourism. We are performing well in Johannesburg, in Durban, and in Cape Town in conference tourism. But we have not broken down what is conference tourism contributing, and then isolate that conference tourism or business tourism from the other tourism that is attracted by Durban, by natural heritage like beaches and those types of things. So I do not know, but my view was that we've got to have also some headings that compare with the headings that we have in our annual reports, so that when we report, we can match the two. Then the issue of alignment we also have, and then the issue of tourism, and then rural development, and then the five areas of our priorities, some of which are not really relevant to us, but rural development is economic development, accelerated economic development with them. Producing jobs and sustainable livelihoods is. If we have sustainable livelihoods, what should they be? For instance, you look at Cape Town, there was these rickshaws or people with cycles taking people around. In India, you've got these tuk-tuks, scooters taking people around. And it's cheaper, even in Thailand. Yes, the question then becomes, if you want to service the disadvantaged youth or something, can't they then be assisted to buy those tuk-tuks, be trained and so forth, and have their tuk-tuks taking people in around Devon or so, or around Cape Town, or because you can't just be crying about youth unemployment and so forth and not doing anything about it. Yes, well.
Thanks, Joel. I'd like to support your suggestion that we approach the project in line with our own, I think it's five sections of our budget, is it? And make direct comparisons, maybe look at what percentage we spend on each line item compared to them in broad terms, and then we can get an idea of where the emphasis lies and why there's a difference. Maybe we can learn something, maybe not. It all depends. What I'd also like to suggest is two other things. that they must have an organization in Mexico which is similar to SA Tourism. A quasi-government body was funded by out of their tourism budget that promotes their country. I think it would be fantastic if we could somehow in the program include a visit to them so they can tell us basically what Rasheen Singh and people tell us when they brief us, so we can compare directly the major marketing arm of their country as opposed to ours. Secondly, they must have some kind of industry role players like we have as well, like FASA or FEDASA. So it would be nice to get a governmental point of view and then also a private sector point of view. And it would be interesting, I think, to see if the two views are the same or if they're divergent. So that's my first point. If we can maybe duplicate almost what we're going to be doing in the first term in terms of our committee program. The second thing, and it's slightly related to tourism, but in our country the two are interlinked. Mexico had a World Cup in 1970 and also in 1986. Okay. Both World Cup finals were played in Mexico City at the Azteca Stadium. And like South Africa, they poured an enormous amount of money into developing stadiums to basically bring the world to Mexico, as we did. So I think it might be quite useful if we went on a guided tour to the Azteca Stadium. I take it we are going to Mexico City, we're certainly landing there. And let's find out what the Mexicans are doing to pay for their stadiums. We have a big problem in paying for many of ours. Only a couple are actually economically viable. The rest are a headache. Let's see what they're doing. And maybe they're doing something similar to Moses Malida, where there is a proper tourist program with bungee jumping and a vernacular rail car or something that goes to the top of the arch, etc., etc. But maybe they do more with their stadiums, which we could learn from and possibly help our beleaguered ratepayers when we come back by imparting that information. So those are just two specific requests that I would like to make, if we could fit that in. I think it might be fascinating to see what they're doing, integrating their World Cup or two World Cups, because we've only had one, into the tourism industry. And we can ask them, how much did Mexico benefit from your World Cup, particularly the latest one in 86, which is not so long ago, and compare and see if they've actually made a bigger success or not of their World Cup to use tourism, and find out what they did, and maybe we can learn something there too.
No, I think that is absolutely correct. But also we've got to know how they use their indigenous heritage, if they have indigenous people there.
Yeah, they do.
Like things that they make and sell, things that the areas where they live, what they do, the tonics they drink, and these types of things. Their restaurants, if they have got their restaurants, guest houses and B&Bs, that type of thing, get information, and how government then assists them, and what was the program, so that we can also develop these things. And as we are talking out there, there are things that we know we should do, like having a road going to the hole in the wall, in the Eastern Cape. Like a proper routes going to other destination like the northwest. I mean, it's totally unacceptable to have a national road in the northwest in that condition on which the N12 was. I mean, it's just not acceptable. Where a national road is not a It's those things that have to be addressed, but they are not what should not be addressed by tourism. How do they address them then? There. So, I think the point is taken. The stadium, the stadia, the Cape Town, and the Port Elizabeth one cannot pay their way through, isn't it? I don't know about the other ones. The Mapita can pay for itself. Because they invited restaurants to who are paying real rent, and then they're having other activities. They are having halls there, which you can hire if you're having an event, and I do not know what events are held there. So it's a lot of facilities. You can even have conferences inside Mapida. I do not know how many conferences. you invite me. The case of PE, it has got the capacity to do that because of the nature of their stadium. And I think even here in the Cape Town. But what is causing problems, I do not know. But we've got to keep on striving until we get there. But the experiences from Aztec stadiums and other stadiums, I think should be instructive. But also we've got to make a point. The national team has got to play in such a way that it has got supporters. Because that is another problem we are having. That is the national soccer team. It has got a responsibility to attract players. It has got to understand that it has got a responsibility to attract supporters. And if it attracts supporters, it is going to attract sponsors. And if it attracts sponsors, a lot of things are going to be much more successful than things are now. You can have a coach saying this and the other, but the level of support, if you look outside there, and then perhaps if you measure by Bafana jerseys, there are more rugby jerseys now in the street than Bafana jerseys. Even if you go to townships, you find more people now wearing Springbok, this thing. Why? Is it because you are not winning? What is causing that?
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the winner.
They are beautiful. I don't think it's only that they are, but they are, you find a lot
of
so the brand, the question of the brand, how do they strengthen they've got to strengthen their brand. It's a whole cocktail, but they've got to understand that they've got to strengthen their brand.
Mama, say you have a pirate t-shirt now.
The pirates.
Yeah, don't be afraid to say you see pirate t-shirt.
No. I know I'm not in black and white, but the pirates are winning these days.
Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, it is unfortunate that Parliament don't have funds to allow us to have these oversights, because we are tourism, and tourism can never be always in S35, S12, V22, whatever. But now, what can we do? Because when Gumede suggests that, how about us just exploring? You are told there's no money. Because, you know, if you are to know the department very well, it's through oversight, whereby you are going to meet other people, ask questions, exchange ideas, you know, more especially other people from other provinces. Well, but now, it is unfortunate, more especially for this committee, because it is very rich. The only thing is just that the department is praised for generating a lot of economy. But now, really and truly, it is unfortunate, but there is nothing one can do, because when funds are not there, but around Slalo, around the Western Cape, do you think it's so expensive?
No, it's not. I don't think it's not. It's that prohibitive if we would go around Western Cape. We can go and, for instance, the tourism and the wine industry. Mexico is having a fairly young wine industry, isn't it? They are having the wines, and Chile as well. So we'll find out how they use those to attract tourists.
As our sailing boats.
As our this wine route. Because perhaps it looks like we are not giving our tourists enough wine to make them pay even more. to give them a bit of more wine, and then perhaps then we can succeed. Let us get down to conclude our program now. Jerry, did you want to say something on the program? The passports and everything are ready.
No, Jefferson, I wanted just to indicate to members the committee has been granted the permission to undertake this international study tour. Although, Chair, because initially members will recall, Chairperson's and the decision of the committee was that the entire committee must go. In the engagement between the chairperson and the house chair and the other offices relevant, it was agreed that 7 members will be approved, and then those who did not go on this trip and then will get their chance in another trip, possibly the world travel market one. I think there's also another one which is coming this year, around October, November, so in London. So the understanding between the chairperson and the house chair was that those who did not go this time then will get a chance in another round. Then the other thing, Chair, the only thing that is outstanding now, we are just waiting for the mission to give us the program, the itinerary program, so that we can see exactly what are we going to do on day one, day two, day three, and so on, until we come back. We are still waiting for that program. They promised us sometime last week that we will get it this week. So I thought before I come this meeting, it will be with us so that we can share with the rest of the members of the committee. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. Then the committee is departing on Friday, on the 20th at 10 to 9, in the evening. Visas have been granted, and we have also been informed by the mission that it's a midwinter in Mexico, and their temperatures range between 16 degrees Celsius and 25, and it's very cold in the evening, but during the day the weather is fine, and they don't expect any rain and so on. Those are the only issues from my side, Chairperson.
Yeah, in fact, on the issue of the 7 people having to go, it's all committee now. Do not have to exceed 7 members that are going overseas. So that is in line with belt tightening and the recession and all those things. Then the second issue is the issue of yellow fever and malaria or whatever. Isn't there anything that you have to immunize against?
Chair, we asked them that question, and then they wanted to know our route, how are we going to get there. Then I informed them that it's a Cape Town, London, Miami, Mexico, and they said no, that there's no reason for us to panic because we don't go via Brazil or the other countries. The way our route is, and then it's safe. We are okay. There's no need for immunization.
Cheers. This is a very basic housekeeping question. I mean, presumably, we'll be staying in hotels which will include bed and breakfast. I mean, are we expected to, make sure we have our own funds to buy lunches and dinners and stuff, or is there a per diem, or how does it work? I've never been, believe it or not, in 12 years, I've never been on an overseas trip from Parliament, so this is a first for me. I don't know what the established protocols are. I mean, how does it, will Jerry tell us? Yeah.
There is what they call it Parliament, the SNT that is provided for every member of the delegation. But the breakfast and the dinner, then they are going to be paid by Parliament. It's only the lunches during the day where members can buy from their SNT. The calculations they showed me on Friday, they were paying 59 dollars per day, which when you convert it into rand, it's plus minus 400 and Greg, help me, 400 and something per day. But in total, members will get something around 4,008 rand. Or 4,020 rand, the money that you should be expecting. I will just check with finance now as I get out of this meeting exactly when is that money going to be deposited in your bank account, because that's what they are going to do. And then it's up to members then to convert it into dollars.
Okay. And then the other area is the area of protocol. How should we be dressed, and what should we do, and what should we not do? In other countries, if you point a finger at people, then it is taken as an offense. Or if you say some words or whatever, in foreign affairs, inform us on anything around those things.
Chair, that's exactly the reason we wanted that program, so that we can see which meetings where we will be expected to be formal, and then which others that we might be casuals and so on. But even if the program is not here, then I will still going to ask them to please provide us with that information. Latest by tomorrow, members must have that information.
That is the information from our side. Any other question? Mamzo?
No, I was looking at the route. Did we have to go via London? We can't fly straight. I'm not that I'm changing it, but I'm just for information now. We couldn't fly straight from Cape Town to Miami.
Mamzobe, we have checked that. I really don't know how these things work, because you find that this route that we took is the cheapest. The rest is 90,000, 95,000, 140,000, 160-something thousand. I don't know per person. And the one that we took, it's long, but it's the cheapest. I don't know how do we really interpret.
So you're looking for the cheapest.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it would be expensive because it's convenient. Because when you fly from Cape Town to Miami, it's just overnight. Very early in the morning, you are there, and then straight to Mexico. Anyway.
Well, they're not telling you they're going to change the taxi, but they've got to do this to make the propellers go around. That's why it's so cheap.
No, that's the way it is. But I think that is it from us.
Thank you, Chair.
So the meeting is adjourned. Thanks very much for your call.
Don't forget your thing, eh?
Chairperson, just the last thing on my side, Chair. I would like to know from the members who will need a transport on Friday evening to the airport, because we will be departing from Cape Town. So those who will need transport from Acacia Park or to the airport.
2 hours before the flight, is it?
Yes, 2 hours. It's an international.
From Cape Town.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
All good things start in Cape Town.
Not all are
the flights are moving from Cape Town.
Yes.
This is also Gala.
Yes, we
depart from Cape Town. Okay, so they'll take you from Johannesburg to here, and then from here to...
Okay.
I thought that it would move from Johannesburg.
Okay. In terms of pointing,
it's
into trouble. In this country, pointing at the president is in trouble too.
Okay. No, that's fine. There's no problem. Thank you. Two members are not having official, two people in the delegation are not having official passports.
Who are them?
Kwalai and Krumbok.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to see. Sometimes it becomes a serious inconvenience because...
Why
they take them along. Okay, because... you know, our passports, we have problems internationally because of these drugs and people using South African passports. So, if you are having a normal passport, you find yourself in trouble.